Well, hello. This is our first episode, something that me and Mr. Walker are going to start doing every 7 to 10 days. What you're going to find here is some things that are going around on the district, some special events that we're going to have, or just some information that you probably need to know. So as you can see, it's going to be called The Paddle.
It's also going to be Stupidity.
Yeah.
Because we're good at that. So, our first guest, this guy kicks off in 10 days.
Yeah,
10 days. 10 days. First football game of the year against the Peak. So, we thought, what a great first guest to get head coach of the Simms Valley Vikings football team, Ben Ferguson.
And that's actually, what's a battle for the paddle? Or
it's battle for battle the paddle, for yeah. The paddle. It's week one every year now. It used to be week three. I believe 2 years ago was the first ever inaugural battle for the paddle game. So, but it's been a rivalry long standing.
We walked it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys did.
And Miss Carpenter made the paddle, designed some of it.
Yep.
It's a very iconic trophy that is passed between both of the schools. Tell me, real life situation.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've ever seen this on a Lawrence County Friday night, but if there was a fight between a Panther and a Viking, and I believe those are lyrics to a song.
Yeah.
Who would win?
I would have to say the Viking. Because I feel like they would just swarm the Panther as a team. I mean, you know, multiple axes.
One Viking.
One-on-one? One Panther. I'm still taking a Viking. Okay. I really am. So I just think they're better trained. I think they're better prepared. They're ready for battle.
Are you making analogies to the football team?
No, not at all. Not at all. No, okay. Just Viking history.
So Panthers are quick, but the Vikings are stronger.
Yeah, and they're not going to quit. And they have weapons.
Right.
They can wield weapons. That's the cool part.
That is.
So, I mean, it's just a logical choice. I don't know. I'm not virtue signaling anything or anything like that. I'm just saying it's a logical choice in my mind.
Would it matter if the Viking was at home?
No, because I feel like Vikings even perform better sometimes on other people's turf.
Would it matter if he had a bologna sandwich before the fight?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's all about the protein.
What
for
do you
sure.
think a Panther tastes like?
Chicken. Just like every other meat growing up that my mom tried to get me to try.
I have a odd feeling that it tastes like about that thick of bologna.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really do. Maybe on white bread.
Maybe
available for purchase soon in the concession stand.
Mm-hmm. Nearly renovated concession stand.
It
could
is.
Be.
It's like a 5-star restaurant out there now if you look in it.
It is.
White.
Redone. New fryer, new warming table, new cooler, new ice machine. Like I don't know. We look like a restaurant.
Looks good.
Yeah, it looks good.
Michelin.
Sure. Michelin star.
Yeah, we're trying to get that star like on the bear, you know. Every second counts. So
after last week's scrimmage, played Oak Hill, in my opinion, you all won. Based on scores, I'm not trying to give anybody big head or anything.
Sure.
But what do you take from that? What do you take from the Oak Hill scrimmage?
So biggest thing to me is small school, you come out healthy. Okay, that's the number one goal for me. I think it's the number one goal for our coaching staff as well. The second thing is, for me, a first scrimmage is pretty much all about effort. Everybody's going to make first scrimmage mistakes. Everybody's going to, you know, not block the right guy. People aren't going to tackle, you know, things of that sort. But is the effort there? When they make a mistake, are they making it full speed? Do they have a good attitude to correct it whenever it is we talk to them afterwards? And are they starting to make small steps in the right direction on both sides of the ball? I thought for me, I mean, I know fans and stuff like that like to keep score. But for me, it's really not about that. It's about, are we doing the things to make us successful when the season does start? And I think that, in all honesty, it was probably the best scrimmage since I've been the head coach. As far as it being early on, you know, bigger school, we had no idea there'd be a single wing team, which is tough to defend in and of itself, even when you can prepare for it. But it's really hard to defend when you have no idea what's coming. So, I mean, obviously they hit us with some plays and it was a good teaching tape for them. We watched a lot today with that and I feel really good about where we are. So,
yeah, it's hard to prepare for something like that.
Absolutely. So it's very unique from what a lot of teams now do.
Well, I like to say unique you.
Sure. however you want to pronounce it. Yeah. Yeah, it's just different. So yeah. You don't see it every week.
But so this is year three of the Ben Ferguson.
Four.
Year four of the Ben Ferguson head coach era. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you know, like coming out of this scrimmage, like, you know, you're starting to see things. So you're in year four, mm-hmm. varsity coach, beginning of the fourth year. Mm-hmm. You're starting to see all of the fruits of your labor mm-hmm. and all those things that you just can't get done in your first 1-2 years
right.
as a head coach. Like, how? What are some things that you're starting to see, like, foundation-wise that have been laid that you're like, okay, this is starting to click?
Right.
Because that's internally hard
yes,
as head coaches really to sit there through that time sometimes and be sure. like, I'm still this far away mm-hmm. from this being there. So,
right.
So
I think
how has that fruit ripened?
Okay, so I would say that, like, early on, it's really tough because there's some things that you don't want to change. Like, you know, as far as, like, you know, there's, you can always take good stuff no matter what from the past, but there's also a lot of things and you have to tier it, I think, of how you change it. So, like, for example, like, we went kind of completely away from our identity of just being 99% of the time running the ball.
Yeah.
Right. And now we're really trying to, you know, I would say sometimes I'd say balanced, because balanced for us, in my opinion, is whatever it is we can take advantage of, that's what we're going to do. So that may be, we may run it 9 out of 10 plays, or we may pass it 9 out of 10 plays, just depending on what we can do. I would say, like you were talking about fruits of your labor and all that, there are things with young players, 14 to 18 years old, that you're just not going to be able to get in year one of establishing an offense, of establishing a defense, installing all that, your culture, everything like that. So I think what we're seeing now is you've got guys that are now juniors and seniors that have been in this system for 3 years now. You got younger guys who were in this system as well when they were in junior high. And it all just builds on itself. You know, it's things that, like, it's kind of like the whole stacking days thing, right? It's like, okay, the timing, the chemistry of the routes, the people running them, the rhythm, the offensive line, you know, learning, you know, whole different skill set and things of that sort. It's not just as simple as going, hey, we used to run it a lot, now we're just going to call pass plays. It's a whole different skill set, honestly, from the skilled guys to also the linemen, you know, and everything like that. So I think this year we're really coming into those guys that all have been taught the same. It's not like, you know, 2 years ago, and it's not those kids' fault. It's just like they've been very run heavy. The first two classes, or the younger two classes a couple years ago, were very pass heavy. So you had some guys that were good at this, other guys that weren't, and then vice versa. Now I think you really have balance where our guys can do both. And then I also think that, like, you know, just having the experience of some of those young guys last year, and really every group that we have right now, staggered, you know, freshmen all the way to seniors, has had to play in some capacity young, you know what I mean? And in this system. So, you know, just having that experience now, it's something you can't recreate in your first 2 years, you know. And sometimes you just have to sit back and say, you know, you just got to be patient. I think that's the biggest thing that I've taken from the last 3 years is you got to be patient. You got to be understanding. You got to have non-negotiables of things that it's like, hey, I can understand this, but this is something that we can't bend on, whether it be schematically, whether it be, you know, how you hold your kids accountable and things of that sort with their discipline. You know, just top down, I think it's just really tough and you just got to hang in there. And I think the kids that are there that have, they're, you know, they're prepared, they're rearing to go. So
give me a number. I want on the team.
We have plenty. Yeah, that'd be good. What do you think? You skilled number?
No, I'm a lineman.
I like that attitude. I like the ownership of the position. I really do. I really do. In a world that really highlights the skilled guys, I love guys that take pride in being linemen.
And I think you're right about patience. I mean, you're strong for being patient. I go in a deer stand and 10 minutes in, I'm like,
well, see that, but I use all my patience in coaching. I could never hunt. I could never fish. I just don't enjoy
it. But you golf.
I do golf. Not well, but I do golf.
Such patience to golf.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend $35 to go out there and get mad.
That's also true.
I don't get it.
But I think it takes so much mental focus, even if you're bad. To just keep under control and not throw a club or whatever, that it helps you relax.
I'll do a very good job of that.
Yeah.
So we've talked football. Mm-hmm. What's one special thing we should know about Ben?
Ben
the person.
Like from like my childhood? Something you wouldn't know about me.
Whatever. Speak your mind.
I have a couple things. You ready?
What's one thing?
One thing.
What's one thing that a lot of people out here don't know about you?
Okay. I never touched a football field until I was in the fifth grade. All up until then, I played soccer. So, like, where I lived in the Dayton area and all that, I mean, obviously football was big, but there's such a big population that there's, I mean, you could do ice hockey, you know, there's track early on, everything like that. I just really gravitated when I was younger towards soccer. So, you know, I was a defensive guy. I was never fast or anything like that. But I think it did help me when I did get to play football after that in the fifth grade, because I really think that a lot of these programs that have soccer young and all that, you learn to think with your feet. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, a lot of kids learn to think with their hands, right? Now you learn to think with your feet whenever you're in soccer, and it helps you in every other sport.
Technically, you were playing football.
In a way, football. Yes, yes. If I was not in this in this country, that's yes, food. I would be playing football. So I guess I just played a different version of it. But
that's right, you did.
I did. So, and in all honesty, from fifth grade to about seventh, I played both. So I would play like
an animal.
I would play, well, obviously football is once a year, so you would play like in the fall. But then in the spring, summer, and all that, you know, you can't play football. It's only once a year, so I would play soccer instead. So I played in indoor leagues. I played, you know, in select leagues and all that. So I played a lot.
Select, he's flexing right now.
Coosa Select. Yeah. I mean, you know, I was willing to do the dirty work. You know, I don't think I ever scored a goal. Ever. Like, I mean, I was on the back.
Really? No goals?
No, not as a defender. I was in the back line.
Who have we hired?
Just saying. I'm just saying. So, anyways.
All right. Yeah. Interesting fact.
Sure.
So, I don't know. This is one that bugs me. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No. And you know why? Think about a hot dog bun.
I want to hear this out.
It opens up, but it's not two separate pieces of bread. So to me, it's not a sandwich.
What do you think?
That's just my thought.
What do you think?
Just saying. If you have, okay, you take two pieces of bread, you put peanut butter and jelly on it. You stack them, it's a sandwich. But if you take one piece of bread and just put peanut butter on it, you don't go, oh, I just had a peanut butter sandwich.
If you fold it over,
but
it
is. But it's not a sandwich. No, it's not two different pieces of bread.
If you flop that over, that is still it's a flop-over sandwich.
But it's not a standard sandwich. It's a flop-over sandwich. I think it's two different things.
So
it's like what makes it a stew and what makes it a soup.
That's true.
I don't know. Now, what I was always taught was a stew has more meat than broth, and then a soup is primarily broth, less meat. But I don't know if that's correct. That's what I was always told.
So are you a big stew guy or big soup
both.
Guy?
Both. Like them both. Like them both.
Can't stand either.
You don't like beef stew? You don't like beef stew?
If it's a soup or a stew,
yeah,
get out of here.
You don't like French onion soup.
You've never taken like a Reuben from Arby's and dipped it in the French onion soup. Like, I mean,
high quality.
What's Arby's French onion soup?
A lot of soccer tournaments. You got to get something to eat quick.
You know what comes with the meats?
What?
The sweat.
Well, that's true too, but it's a fun ride getting there. You know what I mean?
Green and Arby's that much.
Yeah, you're going to sweat, but you're also going to get a Reuben dipped in the soup.
I don't know. I almost feel like you're dipping a Reuben in Pepsi at Arby's. Like,
if you like both things, they're
au jus good.
Oh, yeah.
It's very good.
For low budget roast beef and au jus, it's
when you're on the road, you're in the minivan, you strip those shin guards off from soccer, it's been a long day.
You get a 5 for 5.
Yep.
In the 90s, you could do 5 for 5.
Absolutely. Gosh. Absolutely.
So, interesting story. When I was in junior high, my parents, it was their turn to feed. And, you know, everybody's like, you know, before a ball game, like trying to feed the same stuff.
Sure.
Not my parents. Right. They went to Arby's and got 4 5 for 5.
Absolutely.
Like, and one bag of chips. Like,
yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah. Exactly.
Everybody
last. Make sure everybody gets some.
You've got to run your guts out 94 feet up and down the floor at 6 o'clock. But 4 o'clock, you better eat 2 beef and cheddar.
You're going to be fueled. Exactly. You know what I mean? You might not feel the best, but you're going to be fueled.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like before pregame meals, spaghetti. Then you.
I was getting ready to say, what would be your ideal pregame meal?
You played 3 hours.
So you were basketball. You were football. Did you also play basketball or baseball?
I played baseball.
Okay, but baseball,
hockey.
Right. Okay. So let's take hockey and football, because nothing against baseball, but like generally you're not exerting as much at one time, right? The game's a little bit slower paced.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's your ideal pregame meal? I can tell you mine right now.
Do you want younger Zach, or do you want?
I want Zach when he was playing the sport. Yeah. You want me to go first?
I mean, before a game, I don't think I'd eat anything.
You want me to tell you what I eat?
I might like drink a Gatorade and.
Okay, I like it so far.
Maybe a Sam's hot dog.
No, that's all. No, listen. Every home game here, when I moved here, played football. Every home game, I drive to R&R.
Yeah.
I get two sandwiches with like thick sliced turkey breast, cheese, and then I would get some sort of chip. I don't know. I mean, how like
inch?
No, not that thick. No, that's like struggling. You're burning more calories to get through that sandwich than is actually in the sandwich. But like you get turkey, you get cheese, and then you go get chips. It's either Doritos or Funyuns. Then you put the chips on the sandwich.
Like a beach or pool sandwich.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
To me, that's the best. It sits on your stomach just right. You eat it about 4 hours before game time, you're set.
Mine was a Gatorade and an applesauce.
Yeah.
I could see that. So you went lighter.
No, I didn't.
I'd like a little heavier. Now, I will say this, though. I would almost not eat anything if we had a bus ride, because I get really sick on buses, even to this day. So, I mean, yeah.
Were you a puker in sports?
No. Now, I was a puker a couple times on the basketball team my senior year, even though I wasn't good enough to play. But I would puke coming off the bus just from being sick. But I never puked like, okay, coach gives a pregame speech, we're getting ready to go out, and then I puke in the trash can. No.
It's the worst. Like, you get down in the stands, you're across from this 310-pound guy.
Yeah.
Face is swollen.
Right.
Like, his helmet is barely on his head.
Right.
And he just starts puking.
Just the old four-point stance. You probably hit your own hands, and it's just,
I mean,
you gotta play
the
play.
I'm jumping back offsides like,
oh, I'm
are you kidding me?
Just use it, that play. You know what I mean? That kid's probably freaked out. Just use it. You know?
So. I don't know. It's crazy stuff.
It is. Absolutely. So, yeah.
So, you can domesticate any animal.
Domesticate any animal. So
non-domesticated currently.
You're
you
saying
can domesticate any animal.
One you'd find in a zoo, and then you could turn it into a pet. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, some zoo animals are domesticated.
Gosh. Well, true. But I'm trying to think of ones that would
not
traditionally
common,
not be.
Not a common Lawrence County.
Oh man.
Domesticated animal.
This isn't something I think about a lot. So hold on a second. It would probably be. Probably an elephant.
Ooh.
That would be.
Or a polar bear.
Yeah.
Because they're the only things that like, or not only, but they're one of the only animals that like hunt humans for sport, right?
Right.
It'd probably be a polar bear, honestly. Yeah. I'd want to domesticate.
Would you ride on it like on a saddle?
Absolutely.
Like to the
field? No saddle.
No saddle.
Bareback.
That's
absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
I'd go majestic on it. Yeah. If it's domesticated, right?
You
can trust
you
it.
You can get your legs over an elephant?
Over an elephant? No. That's why I switched up. That was my first thought.
I didn't know if you were riding side saddle.
Oh no! Never.
You
that.
Can't.
That's not tactical.
On
no.
an elephant?
No.
What
I think
you
committed
like,
to one
you
side in your
saddle?
Side saddle. Maybe. You never know with a domesticated polar bear. Good.
If you roll up riding side saddle on an elephant, I'm gonna be like,
right? He's gonna laugh, right?
Obviously.
But like here, literally, okay. If your side saddle, hold on.
Have,
think about this.
You have never watched me ride a four wheeler.
That's true. But, yeah, I wouldn't be scared. Like, what I'm saying is, you roll up riding a polar bear. And you're feared. You roll up riding a polar bear side saddle, and people are like, "What is this guy doing?"
Yeah,
like I mean, you know, they're like, "This guy must be nuts."
You look like Princess Jasmine or something.
Exactly.
This guy must be nuts.
Right.
But I'm ready to pounce at any time.
From side saddle, only on 50% of the side. Like I mean, you can't go both.
What's going on over here?
You have no idea.
You're draping your limbs over here.
So you're telling me in Braveheart they only fought on one side?
I can grab the tail.
Yeah.
Pivot around.
I don't think, no, that's an athletic move. I don't think that's happening.
No.
Because you're no doubt in Crocs.
I'm an athlete.
You're no doubt side saddle in Crocs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just don't think it's going to happen.
The only thing I wear.
Yeah.
100%.
Crocs, we need a sponsor, Crocs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will Croc all day long.
Yeah.
So, let's say you decide to run for president.
Okay.
Of the United States.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Who's your VP? Anybody?
Oh man!
Anybody that you can choose. Who is your number two?
Brad Nelson. And you know why? For this one reason. Brad Nelson will never not tell me what he thinks, even if it's going to hurt my feelings, which I feel like you're in that high of a position of leadership. You need that, right? You don't want a guy who's or a person who's always going to tell you what it is you want to hear. Nelson, I know, like we've been friends for a while. He was my coach as well. That's probably partly what plays into it is like he's always, if he thinks differently, going to tell me. He's not scared to give me what he believes as his belief or his truth. I honestly think that's essential.
It's a good quality.
Yeah, many people as you might need around you that maybe agree with you and support you, I think you need equally the amount of people that might think differently and are opposed, just because it keeps you honest, I think. I mean, so that would be my pick.
Your VP and drive the presidential limousine.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I could see him in one of those suits and a little hat. Yeah, that'd be good. Man's a jack of all trades. Yeah, you've seen like the little hats that sometimes limousine drivers wear. Yeah.
But
it'd be a perfect disguise from a VP for security's sake. You know, nobody would guess it's him.
Yeah, but,
no?
Little guy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He blends in, man.
Yeah.
He really does. So, yeah, that's it. That's who it would be.
Well, we appreciate you coming on today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate you being the inaugural podcast.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
For those of you watching, this is the second time we've done this.
It is. Yeah. Yep.
And mm-hmm. I messed up. So I'm openly taking ownership. Hey,
hand up accountability.
For that.
Love it.
New questions this time, though. We didn't ask him.
Yeah, new questions.
Correct. So they're keeping me on my toes. I like it.
All right. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Appreciate it, man.
Go Vikings. Absolutely.
Good luck. Hand hug, is that your one? All right. Good luck to you guys on the first day of school tomorrow.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Goodbye, Ben.
See you, buddy.
On a cap cut thing.
Yep.
So tomorrow's first day of school. Really looking forward to it. A lot of new stuff going on this year. A lot of pending stuff, but I think all of it's going to turn out best for the kids here at Sims Valley, which ultimately that's what we're here for, to make sure that the experience of our kids here is one of the best. So really looking forward to the first day of school, seeing all the smiling faces, and just kind of getting back in the groove.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're here a lot in the summer, and it's just not the same without the kids here. We like kids. That's why we got into this business. So really looking forward to them coming back tomorrow. And like he said, we're not going to, you know, we got some exciting things going on. We're not going to release them now. But, you know, it's going to be a good year here in the Valley again. And we're really excited.
Yeah. So our idea with this is just to provide you guys some information about what's going on. Every week we're hoping to have a guest.
Not Ben every week.
Yeah, we're not Ben every week.
Yeah.
He'll talk way too much. But let you guys watch it. If you got a question, we're going to have a place to where you can ask a question and we'll answer it for you. I mean, hopefully we can have some kids on here one time to kind of spotlight some of the successes of stuff that's happening in the school. I mean, like spelling bee winner.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, cool. Just like things that are, you know, going on, like, you know, we want to, one thing that we're going to try to do this year is we want to make Fall Festival a lot better, new games, things like that. So, you know, dads, if you're watching this, you know, PTO is not usually a dad thing. I get that, but we could use your talents and making some new games for us. We just got a lot of things that a lot of different people in the community can help us out with this year.
Yeah, I think like the more the community is involved, the better off we're going to be. And not to cut you all short, we get a lot of support now. I think that, you know, the more people involved, the better. The kids see it, and then that leads them to see, hey, maybe when we grow up, we're going to do this. So it's always great to have people around. And again, the more the better to make these events that we're going to try to hold just something to never forget. So we're looking for some people with some ideas. We've had a couple people reach out already, which we're excited about. But Fall Festival is just one of the many things that we're going to need some support on. If you feel like, you know, you want to get involved, send us an email or call us. Get a hold of us somehow. We're always down at the Little League fields. I know that I might look like I don't want anybody to talk to me, but I mean, I'm just socially awkward like that. If you would come and talk to me,
that's true.
I'll talk to you. Like, I lose conversation with my best friends. Like, I just sit there and stare awkwardly because I run out of stuff to say. So you talk to me, it'll be easy. If I have to talk to you, it's going to be weird.
It is. It's going to be dreadful. Same. I think I always have a like look on my face. Like, I'm like, I'm just focused. If you got any questions anytime, let us know.
Yeah. So thanks for listening. Again, we're going to post this wherever we can on a platform, get this out. Hopefully we make it big time. Maybe. But thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
See.
Hopefully we can.